This morning, we began a lesson looking at what daily Bible study needs. I really don't like splitting sermons between Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'd rather do Sunday morning to Sunday morning, but there's not always guarantee that folks will be back for the next week and everything. But this morning we focused on the aspect of our need to respect the authority that's found within the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God. And this is crucial. Without our fundamental respect for the authority of the Bible, we're not going to even have a desire to study it. There's not going to be the need within our hearts and within our minds to study it. There's one individual, I don't know the individual's name, really don't care to know the name, but I've seen a couple of his videos, and he professes himself to be a student of the Bible, but not a believer in God. And so you can obviously tell when he starts talking about the flood, which direction that's going to go. And a lot of the things that we read and we see the power of God in, he sees something else there in the text. But in order to truly benefit from our Bible studies and let it cause growth within our lives, we have to have a respect for the Bible's authority. This evening, I want to pick up with the second thing. We need a desire and a love for the Word of God. This is not something we do academically because we're supposed to do it. We should sit down and study the Word because we have a desire within ourselves and a longing to know more about God, to know more about His Word, and let this desire develop into a love within our hearts. Consider, if you would, Job for just a moment. In Job chapter 23, verse 12, when Job is kind of talking about himself, he observes that I have not departed from the commandment of his lips, talking about the commandments of the Lord. He says, I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth much more than necessary food. That helps us to better understand Job chapter 1. When you go back and you read the first five verses there, let's turn over there. And we've looked at this before off and on. But in Job chapter 1, the first five verses, notice what he says here. Or I should say, notice what the author here observes about Job. I think we used this section when we talked about the family, the home, several weeks back in one of the lessons. But in the course of this, y'all stay there, I'm in the book of Psalms for some reason. And they don't look alike at all. He says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Why? Why did Job, as he says here, why was he blameless and upright? Why did he fear the Lord? We'll go back to what we just read here. He says, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than the necessary foods. When you go through and you read the course of this, verses 1 through 5, you find that Job went to great lengths to offer sacrifices on the behalf of his children, just in case when they had their parties and so forth, they sinned against the Lord. The latter part of verse 5, he says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This Job did regularly. Why? Well, because he loved the law of the Lord. He loved the words of the Lord. He treasured the words of the Lord more than necessary food. It reminds me a little bit of John 4, verse 34. When Jesus comes, as he's talking to the woman there at the well, and as his disciples come to him later, and they're basically, we've got some food for you, and he basically says, I've already ate. And specifically, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Well, there's a powerful imagery there in both instances, where doing the will of the Lord is as food to an individual, something that is necessary, and is a sustenance within their life, just as desiring to study His Word, to know His Word, to listen to His words. Job treasured God's words. And that's the way we need to be. When we talk about Bible study, we need to have a desire within our hearts to want to treasure the very words that we read, so that we will hold them near and dear to our hearts and let them guide our lives, let them help us within our lives, how to deal with situations, how to overcome situations, even in times where it looks like all is lost, our comfort is found here.
And we understand the importance of it, and we treasure it within our hearts, that which is so wonderful given to us by God.
Jeremiah does something very similar. Jeremiah 15, verse 6, he says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Notice there the next to the last line of the verse here. "Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." We should enjoy hearing the word of God, studying the word of God, growing in our understanding. It's almost like a puzzle. It should be a puzzle to us. And what I mean by a puzzle, I'm talking about an actual puzzle that you assemble. Through the course of time, when you work with the puzzle in the very early stages of it, the puzzle doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like. And so, depending on your method of assembly of a puzzle, you'll start on the outer edges and you'll get those done. They're easy because they all got one flat side. And then once you get that done, then you start putting this puzzle, 5,000 pieces of a wheat field together. And over the course of time, you'll have one piece that you don't know where it goes. It just doesn't make sense. And then one day you're looking down and right there. Now, when we study the Word of God, kind of view a similar type growth. When you're a babe in Christ, there's a lot within the text you don't understand, but you continue to study. You read it and read it and read it. And then at some point, you're going to be studying through this passage for the 100th time, and you're going to say, "That's what he means. That makes so much sense." And part of it is because you've studied over here and you've studied over there. Passages that may not be directly connected, but do relate to the text. But you have to have a joy to be able to want to do this, not out of a mere curiosity, but so that you can know the Lord and to know what he would have of us and what he has done for us. In the 119th Psalm, verse 103, David wrote, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey," he says, "to my mouth." Not to wander too far astray from the topic, but you remember the story of Jonathan? Saul had pronounced a curse, basically, that no one would eat until they accomplished their goal that they were trying to accomplish. And Jonathan, with his men, he comes, and it had been a significant number of hours, days since they've ate, so he comes across a tree, I believe it was a tree that had honey in it. And so he eats the honey, and the fellow soldiers are like, "You're going against your dad. Your dad said we couldn't eat until we finally had the victory here." And Jonathan says something to the effect, see how happy this makes me? Basically says, "Look at my countenance, isn't it uplifted?" Well, that's physical honey, and for the moment, the joy and the nourishment that it gave. Well, this is the way David looked at the word of the Lord. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter," he says, "than honey to my mouth." Sweeter than honey to my mouth. So we need to treasure the Word of God within our hearts and make it a vital aspect of our life. Make God's Word a vital daily necessity for our life. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, notice here the statement made by Jesus. And this is when he is, of course, being tempted by the devil. And the devil says to him, "Command these stones that they become bread if you are the Son of God." And Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, you know what's interesting about that text? Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there in verse 3. We're kind of jumping into the middle of this. He begins the chapter by saying, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe," and he goes forward. So then there in verse 3, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you. Know that man," I've read that all wrong. Said the right words, but the wrong way. One more time. "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Yeah, manna was good. It was new to them. They didn't know about manna, but God gave it to them to provide them substance. But the Lord wanted them to know that that's not what was important.
that man was to live by every word of God. And this is what Jesus says to Satan. Know you not? This is what the Lord has said. Man shall not live by bread alone. And this is the same thing for us today. There are so many things physically within this world that seek to distract us, things that we think that we have to have, that we think that we have to do, that we need. And we are in such great pursuit of these things that growing in understanding, partaking of the bread of life, becomes maybe a luxury at best. We must seek this on a daily basis. This is the Word of God that we have. And it's given to us to nourish us, to help us to grow, so that we might be spiritually full and to grow to a spiritual maturity. Over in Hebrews chapter 5, there is a connection there with Bible knowledge and maturity. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 5, there in verse 12, he rebukes the brethren here. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." So they were lacking in their knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, so much so that they needed someone to remind them of the first principles of the oracles of God, the milk. And he says that, "And you have come to need milk and not solid food. But everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who are spiritually mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." When we make the word of God a necessary part of our daily life, then we grow. But if we sporadically and every so often decide to pick up and read a few chapters, we don't grow. It takes a daily process. When you were growing up as a child, you didn't mature as a child, both physically and intellectually, through the occasional meal, through the occasional life lesson. You didn't learn how to read and write and all that other stuff through occasionally learning something. It was all daily, building one day upon the next. And so as if we will have a desire for His Word within our daily lives, we're going to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. What's interesting is in verse 1, he tells us we've got to put away a few things in order to truly have the growth that comes from the Word of God. He says in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, "Therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking," then he says, "as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." We touched on the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Well, Jesus makes the point in John chapter 6, verse 35, and then later down in verse 63, that He is that bread of life. This morning, we talked about how He is the Word. The Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. Well, following this analogy here of bread, of daily spiritual sustenance, Jesus says the following in verse 35 of John 6 here, He says there, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." But we don't partake of this bread of life every so often. It must be daily within our lives. It must be something that we make a vital part of our daily existence. And in the course of doing that, then, we develop a love for the Word of God. You have this desire, and this desire becomes a love for His Word. And the love, of course, continues to feed that desire. Psalm 119, the psalmist here, there's several passages within the course of this chapter that we could have looked at, but these that we have been sufficient. He says in Psalm 119, verse 14, David says, "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." David says, "I will delight myself in your statutes." He says, "I will not forget your word." And then look down in the text of verse 97. Same chapter, this time verse 97, David then says, "Oh, how I love your law." He says, "It is my meditation all the day." And then one more in this chapter. Like I said, so many more within it. But in verse 165, David says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Talk about David being a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he loved the law of the Lord. Yes, did he sin? Sure. Did he make mistakes? Absolutely. But what always led him back to the Lord? His love for the Lord? Yes. But also his love for the law of the Lord. It's what made him the man after God's own heart. Paul said something very similar in Romans 7, verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. We need to examine our hearts and make certain within our minds that there's this desire for, this love of the Word of God. Yes, we say we love God. Remember what Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He makes that point. Well, if we love the Lord, we're going to obey the Lord. If we're going to love the Lord, we're going to love His Word. We love His Word, we love the Lord. And these things shape our daily lives. When we desire and love the Word of God, then the Bible study that we have becomes a desired part of our daily existence. We strive to make time to do so. We miss the days that our life gets too busy that we can't study for that day. But then the next day, we get ourselves back on track. And you think about it. Several times a day for some of us, some have more control than others. You get hungry. Your belly says, feed me. So you feed your belly. Well, here we come to the Word of God. We should desire all the more to fill our hearts and our mind with His most wonderful Word. So that's the second thing that we need for a daily Bible study, a desire and a love for God's Word. What's the third thing now? Third thing is right up there. It's crucial. And that's going to be our daily prayer. We need to pray about our studies. We need to pray when we study. We need to pray to our Heavenly Father always. A couple of examples of things for which we could pray. We're striving to have a fruitful Bible study. We want to be able to study in such a way whereby we both understand and have the wisdom to apply the things that we've learned. James makes an interesting statement in James chapter 1, and let's note there in verses 4 through 6. James says within the course of this context, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, he says, and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, James 1 verse 5, he says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Pray for wisdom. We want to understand the Word of God, and we want to have the wisdom to make application of it. Pray to the Lord. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him pray to the Father. We also need to pray for understanding. This goes over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The Apostle Paul, notice the petition of prayer that we see here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, talking about the brethren in Colossae, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What was Paul praying to the Lord on behalf of the Colossians for? What was he asking the Lord for on their behalf? We'll come back to this again. Pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How do we come to that? Through a study of His Word. But let's follow the example. Pray for one another in this vein or this avenue, but also pray for ourselves. But he doesn't stop there. Here's another portion of that prayer on their behalf. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Pray for understanding. Now, don't pray for understanding if you're not going to pick up your Bible and study it. But when we study the Word of God, pray for understanding. I'm not going to try to tell you that it will come overnight. Some passages are very straightforward, or so it seems. John 3:16. We can all quote that one. But now let's go back and look at the whole chapter of John 3. And you begin to see so much more within the text there. And so when you're a babe in Christ, there'll be some verses you'll be taught that you need to memorize. And there's nothing wrong with that. But understand there's context around all the verses that you memorize that helps to further expand in understanding what it is that they are saying. And so this is what we're striving for. Pray for understanding, but put forth the effort to understand. The next one I thought was interesting. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Because of the usage of the word, we might want to say that this was fulfilled through the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit. But come back to here and look at it again. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse 17. And kind of again, jumping into the middle of this a little bit. He says, I'll go back to verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that age to come. So we come back there to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and he goes forward. Pray for understanding. When you study the word of the Lord, what are you praying for? You're praying to have a greater understanding of these things. And so, when you study, pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. Pray for revelation in the knowledge of Jesus that's based within what we have within the Word of God. And then Philippians 1, 9 through 11, let's also pray for discernment. So let's look at this real quick and then we'll move forward. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And again, it's a similar Paul's prayer for them. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise to God. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. We learn a lot from the teachings of Paul and the apostles, but we also learn a lot from the things for which they prayed. And when we sit down to study the Word of God, let's pray to our Heavenly Father that we'll have a proper understanding. And again, we're not talking about a miraculous impartment of knowledge. We've got to do the footwork. We've got to do the studying. We've got to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. That's why people were sent out, the apostles were sent out to preach the Word, because faith comes by hearing. But without hearing, where's the faith? Without reading, where's the knowledge and understanding going to come from? We have to study His Word, but pray. Daily prayer. Prayer reminds us of our reliance upon God and the directions found within His Word. Prayer causes us to acknowledge what is within our hearts and our minds. Sometimes it's so easy to deceive ourselves until we look in the mirror. When we finally look in the mirror, we finally see what's really there. And when we're praying to God, He knows what's within our hearts and our minds. So be honest about it. God already knows, but be honest to ourselves about it and to Him. Reflect upon what our souls truly need. And as we study the Scriptures, let's begin to increase in that understanding and to overcome the challenges and problems that may be there. If we're honest with ourselves, prayer can also help us to recognize what we do not yet understand. More we could say about that, but I need to move forward to the next thing. So we've talked about having respect for the authority of God. We've talked about having a desire and a love for His Word and praying daily whenever we study the Bible. The last thing for this study, daily Bible study needs consistency. Consistency. It needs to be something that we do Well, daily. We need to make the time to study His Word. It is essential to our continued growth. Sporadically reading it, every so often picking up and reading one verse is not sufficient. Coming together, you know, we assemble 4 hours a week for worship of our Heavenly Father, studying His Word. Even that, if that's all the study time we'll get, really is not enough. We referenced a while ago Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through 14. Assembling together is wonderful. It is edifying. It gives us an opportunity to worship the Lord and edify one another and to grow in our spiritual growth. But that's just 4 hours out of what, 168? Something like that? And yeah, we got to sleep some of that time. But what about the rest of the time? Make the time every day to study His Word, to live within His Word. A great example of this is found way back in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy. Look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Moses here, writing these instructions to the second generation of Israelites, who were camped out at this point on the plains of Moab, waiting for the Lord to take them into the land of Canaan there. And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, here's what he says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And then notice what he says. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The one word that's missing there is daily, but it's implied. It's seen there in the wording that is given. This idea of talk of them when you sit in your house, this is something you do daily. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. We read this, and oftentimes in sermons, this verse is used, and I've used it before, in context of rearing up our children. But there's more to the context, because it keeps the parents in practice. It keeps them within His Word, teaching His Word daily to His children. You can't talk about daily Bible study without bringing up the Bereans. I think I heard David say, what? How'd you call it? I don't remember how you said it. You said it differently than Bereans. Bereans, is that it? Bereans or Bereans? There you go. Okay, so when he said that, I was going to say I couldn't get that in my brain, but apparently I did. But in Acts 17, there in verse 11, they, the Jews in Berea, they searched the Scriptures daily to make certain that what they were hearing was so. So more than likely, when Paul was referencing the Old Testament Scriptures, such as Isaiah 53, they would go to their homes and maybe had the Hebrew scrolls there, written in Hebrews, maybe a copy of the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of the Old Testament books. But either way, they went home and they said, yep, they're right there, Isaiah. He said this. And Paul tells us that this right here foretold what happened a couple years back when this man died upon the cross of Calvary, was buried, and arose from the grave. They searched the Scriptures daily. Now, searching the Scriptures are not always profitable. John chapter 5, 39 through 40, Jesus, He rebukes some. The Sadducees, I believe it was. He says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are the ones that prophesy of me. So when we search the Scriptures, yes, be like the Bereans. Search to understand the truth, but make it a daily pattern within our lives. Remember what the Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? Let's turn over there for just a second there. Joshua chapter 1, there in verse 8, the Lord has chosen Joshua to take Moses' place in leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. It's a very important role, a very somber role. And he says to him in Joshua 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
You shall meditate it. We're saying daily, but he says day and night. Meditate on the law. But in order to meditate on the book of the law, you've got to know it. Joshua was to read it, to study it, to hear it, to make certain that he was thinking about it. That's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Sorry about that. Psalm 1, verse 2, David makes the same statement there. Meditate upon the Lord's word day and night. I think that's a good way of stating, study the scriptures daily. Now, I recognize sometimes our life gets busy and we might only have 15, 20 minutes of study time. Maybe we have to wait until a later time that day. But that doesn't stop you from thinking about it, studying about it. Oftentimes, and I think most preachers do the same thing, when you're developing a sermon, there are certain times you'll be reading through the scriptures and there'll be a verse or a chapter that hits you. And you don't immediately sit down, maybe some do. Most of the time you don't sit down right away and sketch out a lesson out of that one. Sometimes you may take a few notes on it, and then over the next couple of days as you're studying other things, it's percolating back here. It's still cooking. And then you'll sit back down and you'll approach it again, and you'll find that when you continue in the study, you're farther along than you were because you've been thinking about it, meditating on it, day and night. Then you come back to the paper again, and then you build the outline even more. And then you come back to it later. The more time you have to think about it, the more you can put together. And this, I talk about preachers, but all of us, when we study a chapter or even a topic, the more we study, the more we meditate upon it, the more we think about it, the more our brain is able to process it and finally say, aha, I now understand what he's talking about. Make Bible study a daily pattern. And then we're talking about consistency. We've got to be consistent in keeping his word within our lives. Children of Israel did a horrible job in this. They often rebelled against the Lord. Time period of the judges, we're studying in the back classroom, 111 on Sunday mornings, with every judge, just before the judge is introduced, and the people of the Lord did evil in his sight. And then he'll deliver them through the judge, and then they will have 40 years peace. And then build up to the next judge, and the people of the Lord did evil in his sight. On and on they did this. Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, Hosea wrote. This was the Lord's conclusion. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it wasn't for a lack of the Lord giving them. They rejected it. And this rejection would lead to, as Amos 8:11 talks about, there would be a famine coming. Not a famine of food, not a famine of crops, but a famine in hearing the word of the Lord. We need to be consistent in hearing and living by his word. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 5. See the application here that we could make in the course of the lesson with this passage here. Romans chapter 10, let's start our reading in verse 5. Talking about Bible study and being consistent in our study of the scriptures. Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, Paul writes. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, the Apostle Paul in the course here, he is hearkening back to things that Moses had written. If you got a little handy-dandy footnote in your Bible, it's going to be pointing back probably, I didn't write this down on the charts, but it's Deuteronomy 30, verse 12. All right, so he's pulling from this, but yet he's expanding upon what it says. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word, and this is what Deuteronomy 30 says, the word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. And then Paul says, that is the word of faith which we preach. And he continues, of course, in the context here, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But brethren, his word needs to be in, this word of faith needs to be near us,
in our mouth, and in our hearts. That's what he expected of his Israelite people that he led out of Egypt. And that's what he expects of us today. To take his word, to put it within our hearts, to put it within our mouths, to let it exist within us so that it will guide us in following him. It'll shape the path of our lives and a path that is faithful unto him. Daily Bible study. A lot of things we could talk about. And there will be, Lord willing, many more lessons through the course of time on this particular subject. But for this lesson, daily Bible study needs respect for the authority of the Bible. It needs us to have a desire and a love for the Word of God. It needs us to pray daily to our Lord, to our Heavenly Father. And it needs us to have consistency, both in our habits of studying and also application of His Word. The scripture reading earlier that we read, Psalm 119, 105, and this time through 112. David says in 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." This light is only beneficial. This lamp will only help if it is lit and if it is something that we carry with us. When we have this respect for the Bible's authority, then we will stay consistent in our studies and our prayers, and we will seek to keep that lamp burning within our life. It will show us how to live as children of light. It'll show us how to walk as children of God. We must not let our spiritual selves suffer from a famine of the Word. We need to feast on it daily. We need to walk within the footsteps that we see within the Scriptures there and make certain that we are growing every single day in our understanding and knowledge and our faith in God. He has shown us the way to heaven and is found within His Word. The power to overcome sins is found within the blood of Christ upon the cross of Calvary and His overcoming that death. But we must be willing to follow Him. And that begins with the study of His Word to develop a conviction and a persuasion to obey the gospel's call. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm going to ask you, how much do you believe? Are you willing to repent of your sins and be buried with Christ through baptism? If that's the case and that's the strength of your belief, then don't delay. Make the decision to become a child of God today. If you are a Christian and you've not been living faithfully, we said this morning, go back and check your Bible study. Your Bible's probably sitting there lonely. Hasn't been picked up in a number of weeks, maybe months. Might have some dust on it. It's time to pick it up. Get back to the Word and go back to God. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and return to Him today. If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.